Joe.
Who introduced this?
You.
Hello, not good evening, not good afternoon, because we do not know when the parent...
Well, whenever you're watching, good that thing. Evening, afternoon, morning, okay. Madrugada.
So we're doing English first?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is not going to be edited out, by the way.
Why would it not be edited out?
Because it's not going to be edited out.
It should be.
Part of it. No, it's our first time. Come on.
It's our first time? Oh. It should be edited out. Seriously, though.
Nope, it's not. It's going to lack naturality, and it has to be natural.
It could be natural, but we haven't even said hi to people.
Then do it.
Hello, everyone. We're very happy to have you with us in this very first video / podcast, or whatever you want to call it, whatever
he
wants to call it.
It's going to be a video series that's going to derive into a podcast, but sure. And Leah, this is not a vlog, okay? We've established that already.
Video / podcast.
Yeah.
And we make everybody happy with that. All right. So, I am Alicia.
She's Alicia Bautista.
Ali.
She forgot her last name.
And I forgot my last name because I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be Rodriguez for this English version of the podcast.
Oh, no. It doesn't matter.
Or...
You're you and I'm me and I'm me. So.
And I really don't like this. So. Anywho, I am Alicia Bautista and I am married to this wonderful beanbag of surprises.
Beanbag. I wonder how she's going to translate that into Spanish. But my name is Jose Rodriguez. It's very common. It's like...
Do not every, need a literal translation.
Every Latin person is like Jose Rodriguez if it's a guy. And I'm a 30-year-old guy that decided to embark in this magnificent adventure with mon jolie wife.
English and Spanish, honey.
Oh, I'm going for all audiences.
I can say that, but I am limited to English and Spanish.
That's good. So, yeah, we're here. We're starting this new video series / podcast adventure that's going to be called...
Evidence-based families.
Well, you heard the jingle. That was pretty good. She was on the vocals. I was on the chords, and that was just beautiful. So, yes, evidence-based families. It's something that's meant to be a little assistance, crash course, / what does the world prove in the
scientific
concept,
world.
Scientific world, of course. And the concept of being part of a family, like, yes, there are struggles every family has, every couple has, raising kids and whatever. So what does science have to offer to shed light onto those controversial topics? It's not going to be just based on our experience because, let's face it, we've only been married for 7 years.
But let's also make a clarification in that point. Science pretty much only provides... facts.
Of course.
Facts and figures. And then from there you have to part and find a way to apply the facts and figures into your own lives. We're going to try to do it here. We're going to try to do it with other families and or couples that we know and are close to our circles. And hopefully one day, if many more people join our little adventure in this new experience, hopefully other people can respond to this, submit their videos, and then we'll... you can also be part of our project.
Yes! So, yeah, that's basically the concept the whole thing is based on. Like, yes, we're going to share our experience. At the same time, what does evidence say? What do articles and research say? And at the same time, have a chance to answer questions based on those articles and have other couples to ask and answer their own questions.
Yes. Also, I forgot what was I going to say?
I know you forgot, so let me go for it. Okay. So we, as you guess, we are a family. We've been married for 7 years. We've known each other for 11 going on 12 years. We have
what?
Two, yes, 11 going on 12. We have two beautiful daughters who, of course, are not here today because we'll tell you later. And they're 4 and 2. They're called Amelia and Avril. They're beautiful. They can be especially... annoying sometimes, but what kid isn't? Like, she says they take from the from me in that area. And our love story is, you can say beautiful, because as we saw a sign outside in the hotel, every love story is beautiful, right? Every love story is beautiful. Give us your take on that. But we met in a very interesting fashion because, well, I know she's going to say, oh, no, we met at the movies. Yeah, I met her at the movies.
We didn't officially meet at the movies.
Ah, exactly. Though. So I met her while giving a math tutoring to her and our friend, our common friend. And when I met her, I was like, damn, she's hot. And without her knowing it, so that was so funny because I've always had this knack for like being very attentive to detail. So she didn't know it, but I got her email. Like she typed into MSN Messenger and I just saw it recorded into my head and I got her email, so when I started talking
Let's
to her...
Let's clarify, because you just said MSN Messenger.
That's
we're talking about,
really old.
We're talking about 12 or 13 years ago.
Our target... Oh, I'm surprised. It wasn't 11 years ago.
We met 13 years ago.
Our target audience knows MSN Messenger. Don't worry.
Maybe Hotmail. Not, but yes.
Hotmail. Weird emails, okay. Weird passwords. Come on, you get it. So, yeah, I got her email, and I just started writing her. On Messenger, and she was like, hey, how did you get my email? I'm like, well, I'm a guy that was like, I'm interested in you, y'all. So
you're also very creepy because you called my home without me giving you my home phone number.
I have skills.
You're creepy.
I have a set of skills that I can use. I will find you and I will make you fall in love with me.
And or will kill you.
No.
Okay. So
keep going.
We're missing something of what we discussed in the...
No, because we haven't given the whole scope of that thing. Our relationship. Okay. Come on, we're just getting started. Wait, don't worry. It's not going to take that long.
The reason why we wanted to do this...
Our relationship.
...podcast. Aw.
Come on.
Okay. We have been...
So I'm starting to stalk you. I'm calling you to your house. I'm writing you in Messenger.
And it's kind of creepy because it's my first experience with a stalker.
Yeah, she was underage and I was already
And I was underage and I was very focused on getting through high school first. And
that's so difficult.
Also, wow, aren't you a doll? And my parents were pretty strict and...
That's an understatement.
Quite the family. It's a jewel. But I'm happy I was part of that family because it, and somehow it's part of who I am. So, whatever rocks your boat. So, after that, like a year after you were calling my home and texting me and being creepy on Messenger, we actually started dating.
Yeah, I remember that.
A year later. And, well, it's been 11 years since we got married. 4 years after we'd been dating. 2 years later, after we got married, we had our first child, Amelia. She is currently 4 years old, and she's a doll. She is very smart. Not exactly in our advantage, because she questions everything, but she is very smart. And Avril, who is two, she turns two in April, and... She's quite the piece of work.
Yeah. Because Amelia is just really smart and calculated. But
and very into herself.
Avril's just mean.
And Avril's kind of mean. She's very smart, too, but she's kind of mean. She enjoys to bother her sister.
Daughter,
I don't know if this is a common trait.
But you are mean.
I don't know if this is a common trait between younger kids, because I was not like that. I didn't enjoy to bother my brother. He might have testified to that after he sees this video, but I did not just go around poking my brother just because of the fun of it.
I did.
Did you? Yeah, but you were the older kid. I would expect that from you.
Whatever.
Anyway, that's pretty much our story. We've been through...
We've been through thick and thin.
Ups and downs.
Ups and downs.
Storms, roller coasters, all kinds of everything.
Only 7 years, guys. Seven years.
7 years of marriage and then 11 years of actual relationship. And I think that defines who we are now.
Probably.
Yeah. And then the reason why we're doing this is...
I found a reason for me. Yeah, it's a tricky coin.
You're annoying.
I'm going to do that the whole time.
we're doing this because I am going to omit the word reason that appears to be triggering your outbursts. We're doing this because we are very into researching different ways of parenting, different ways of getting our relationship, family, and or parenting skills better, improving, or just seeing different perspectives on every subject involving family and or parenting. But seems like out there, most of the things that are available on these subjects are pretty much religion related. So we were trying to go for a focus a bit less religious and more into the practical aspect of parenting.
Not only on the practical aspect, but if you have the resource of having like studies out there that talk about population and statistics, like what do the numbers say? Well, it's a very valuable resource than just saying, oh, faith will have things go their way. And we're not saying we don't believe in
faith. And it's
faith
more suitable to a wider population, because not only Christian or religious people have kids. Everybody has, people who are kid-oriented and family-oriented have families and kids. They're not necessarily religious, so there's an amount of people
believe in God,
who don't
actually,
have...
They rely a lot on their beliefs, and we're not saying they're wrong. We're just saying, yes, God will provide, God will help, but we also have to do something on our side so that we can make a successful family unit.
Religion-oriented.
And we didn't just want to base it on experience.
We don't want to just base it on experience, because everybody has a different experience, and every experience is valid. Every experience is equally as important as everybody else's experience, because it is. Every experience.
And understand, the camera just stopped recording. We do not understand why. Keep going.
Every experience is valid. Every experience is an adventure on its own, but. As I myself personally find other people's experience in parenting and doing family enlightening when I feel like I don't know what's going to happen. How can we get out of whatever turmoil is our family going through? And other people's experiences and knowledge and science itself could shed some light or could enlighten me and give me an idea of how, from everybody else's experience, can I create a solution for my problem or improve my family experience, improve my marriage, improve my relationship with my kids or whatever.
Okay, so evidence-based families, we've come up with a very simple structure. So as I said, and we have been sharing with you guys, we're going to base this thing on getting articles, like evidence, like scientific research on psychology journals, PubMed, wherever we can find our resources, depending on the topic that we're going to be choosing to perform our content. We're going to read the article, share our thoughts on it, and based on the article, get 4 to 5 questions that would arise from it. So what we would basically do is we're going to begin the podcast/video with an introduction that's going to be a highlight of the week. What did our family, what did our relationship, what did our girls go through in this week? That is a highlight. Then we're going to do an
introduction.
Could
be positive or negative highlight.
Highlight.
Whatever.
Like la creme de nuestro ice cream, right? I just did 3 languages there. Boom. So that's going to be the weekly highlight. Then we're going to do an introduction to the topic, which is going to be based on our experience. For example, the topic of the week is finance. We're going to talk about briefly how do we handle our household finances. Then we're going to go
for challenges that arise from it in our experience, or challenges that have arisen for our family, and what have we done to overcome the challenges.
Then we're going to go back to the evidence. We're going to see what that article or series of articles say about this given topic, and we're going to formulate 4 to 5 questions, which we're going to then answer with our own experience. And then, if possible, we're going to look for couples that we know or that we do not know and hopefully get through with these videos so they can answer those questions themselves.
these questions are also meant to kind of ground the scientific evidence and facts and figures into your own home experience on whatever is the situation going on in your household, in your family, or with your kids. So hopefully those questions could arise answers for whatever you're going through.
Yes. So that's the basic structure of the video series. We really hope to get it to become interactive, because our idea with the whole asking other couples is not necessarily having them here with us as guests, but actually sending us their videos with their answers.
Or voice notes if they're camera
notes.
Shy.
I would rather go for the videos. Much more interactive.
Some people are camera shy.
Some people have cell phones. Everybody has a smartphone. So they would send the videos with the answers. We'd post the answer, then the video response. And this would be interesting. Of course, we're not just saying, oh, we're going to have couples that are married and have like a boy and a girl. No. Single parents, single mothers, single fathers, couples of the same sex, people who do not necessarily have relationships but have had similar issues with their family. So it's not exclusively for married heterosexual couples with children, because it's not that. That is not the point. It's evidence-based families, and hey, families, they are everywhere.
So our highlight of the week has been that we decided to take this vacation. It's a bit of a four-day vacation. Four days and three-night vacation. But it's actually couples exclusive time alone, which we don't often do. Even if we take vacations, we're usually with the kids. We spend most of our time with the kids. And we felt that this was a much-needed alone time. And since we have Holy Week, which is an entire 7-day, you took vacations, and then we decided to break the vacations in two. First, alone time for us as spouses, and then time with the kids in what's left of the week after Thursday. So that's been the highlight of our week, this vacation that we have done. We've been in it for 2 days already, and...
Well, this is the third day, actually. And it sounded interesting to start doing our video series / podcast during these vacations, because here we have no distractions. We have time to actually sit down, jot down our notes, and start giving shape to this thing. So we have been here for 3 days. We get back to our city tomorrow, and then the real Holy Week begins on Thursday. So we still have 4 days to share with the kids and keep resting and keep building on our family dynamic. So definitely this has been the highlight of the week. It's a very nice hotel here in Bahia Ibe. It's an adults-only section with access to the big resort that's family-inclusive. And the environment here is just very quiet, very chill environment, great food, great drinks. Employees here are awesome. So definitely that has been the highlight of our week. And it's only Wednesday.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Perhaps we'll come up with another highlight of the weekend during the weekend.
Yeah.
With the kids. You never know.
Sounds promising. So based on that, we decided to do our own research on what we could consider to be our first topic of this whole series, video, TV, / podcast thingy. And so we went for couples time. When do you say, hey, we need to spend some time together? How are we going to do it? What is couples time? And we actually ran into some interesting concepts on the whole, what is exclusive time with your couple? What is shared time? What does that include? So do you want to elaborate on our couples time experience?
So this has also been part of our ups and downs during our 7-year marriage. But lately we have tried to focus a lot on doing couples time, exclusive couples time, time that we can spend just the two of us doing things that we like, doing whatever it is, just seeing a movie, doing a quirky movie, just whatever. But time that we can spend just on our own without it meaning that the kids are entertained watching TV and we are half spending time together, half watching the kids, or we're half working, half it's just time for us. And definitely this has been, this experience being here has been the highlight of those moments after we have both kids, I believe.
Well, I hope we both have the kids, yeah, definitely. Well, you can say that this has been one of them. We've had other times together alone. They haven't been that extensive. But I want you to go for the your personal takes on personal, like, couples time.
Yes, but
because you have evolved like a Pokemon. That would be interesting to know. Like, in my experience, my personal opinion, I've always insisted on how we should focus on couples time. And even though you had an issue with understanding that at first...
It's... Okay.
Yeah.
Go on.
I gave you a chance.
I will absolutely listen to you. I will
understand, and then I will have a rebuttal.
Okay. So here's my rebuttal. I did not have a hard time understanding that we needed a couple's time alone, just for us. But when you have a child under 1 year old, or you have a child and they're 18 months old, it is very difficult to find someone that can actually stay with both kids. A 4 year old or a 3.5 years old, as she was at that moment, and an 18 month old who is either teething or has whatever virus the season brings. It's just very difficult. And the child comes to create very strong connections with very specific people. And then you come to rely on that specific person. In our case, at that moment, up until very recent, it was my mother, who was the number one person to go. Whenever we had to do anything, she's the one who stays with the kids in the afternoons. So it was very hard to find the time in which we could take time off first for ourselves and then somebody to take care of the kids, to also have the time to do that. To dedicate a weekend for this, or to, I don't know, to dedicate an afternoon, night, whatever, an evening. So those are the challenges that arise and that made me understood it is too much work to go through for one night off, for a weekend off, for whatever. And
all right, so picking up where we left off, safe to say that you are telling us how hard it was to find somebody to trust to take care of the kids. By the way, as you heard, the camera stopped recording, so we took a break, we had dinner, we set everything up again so that we can finish this off.
Yes, indeed. So where I left off is I was explaining how hard it is, the logistics behind leaving somebody with the kids and that person who it has to be and all of that for just... And the logistics of it itself is much more exhausting than one would like or hope for a day off. So I think that's what made it more frustrating to try to find the time to take time.
In my head it was different because that moment what I was telling myself is, oh, she doesn't want to spend time. She doesn't focus on the thing I'm focusing on. That's we should spend time together. But what I was not seeing was the other side of the coin of how worried you were about the logistics of leaving the girl. But at the same time, I believe that once you had that first time out, that we had it alone, you understood how important it was so that our going out together in the night have increased. Us taking a time like this to go to a hotel has also increased. So that's one of the reasons why we wanted to look into what possible effect, or what are the numbers behind couples spending time together. And then we run into these two concepts of shared time and exclusive couples time, which are two entirely different things. Like, shared time is when you are spending time with your loved one, but at the same time, you are with somebody else. Could be your kids, your parents, your friends. That's shared time. You're spending time together, but with somebody else. And then what it's called, exclusive couples time. And one of the first things that impacted, but it's not that hard to understand, is that couples that have dual paying jobs, like she works and he works, or they both work, they actually spend less exclusive time together. And that's easy to see. They're both tired. They get home. They want to unwind. They want to spend time with the kids. So the time they spend with the exclusiveness of the couple is much less than people in which only one of the partners has a steady job, paying job like itself. One of the other things that's interesting is how the perception of leisure time varies across women and men, in which men reportedly say they spend more time with their wives, whereas wives say they spend less time with their significant other.
There's a difference of about 36 minutes, I believe, in the perception that wives have versus the one husbands have of the alone time they get with their spouses. And I think we should take into consideration leaving the link or maybe the document itself of the research down in the description box of this video so that you can have access to also the data and the article from which we're getting
these facts. It's pretty dense, so if you feel like all dizzy because of that many numbers, just go to the discussion. They break it down pretty simple over there, too. I think one of the other interesting numbers that called my attention is on how much actual time people spend together after work, like exclusive couples time, and it's basically 4 hours a day. Like, if you take out sleeping, which is not spending time together, like interacting, it's basically 4 hours a day, of which a lot of people, especially if they don't have a high school degree or high school or lower, spend 1 hour and a half of those 4 hours watching television. So that's also an interesting number. Do you think we watch that much television together?
And then again, I don't think we watch that much TV at all. But then again, I also think, and an interesting, very interesting part I found about the article is how perception is a key factor in how much time a couple spends together in alone time. Because as one of the examples that the article gave was how the husband perceives as watching TV as a couple's time together. They're doing a leisure activity together. But what is not... the husband is not taking into account or is not part of his perception of what's going on is that probably the wife, while she's watching TV, she's also during commercial break or during whatever, she's doing the dishes or prepping the kids' school for the bag for the kids to go to school the next day or maybe prepacking lunches for the next day or doing something, which is also home chores. So the wife does not exactly feel that this is alone time. Because she's just, you know, she's just doing chores, home chores. And then that's where the difference comes among. They are doing the same activity, but your perception is very different from my perception of the same activity and the same situation that we have at the moment.
In the same articles, they mention, and it's interesting, that these guys or these couples, that these individuals that engage in the household activities like chores, they get more of that sense of spending time together. It's more of a growth experience for the couple if they get involved in chores. But that is something very culturally attached, so is watching television. That's why the researchers even suggest that the broadcasters include relationship and family topics to build relationship and families within television and to make it more appealing and current programming, conventional scheduled programming, but that's going to be a tough one to break.
Yeah.
So you want to go to the questions that we got from that article?
We broke down the article down to the four more interesting questions that we could build up from it, and we're going to try to answer them ourselves, and then we're going to have another couple answer these questions. All right, so the first question that we got from this article is, given any random activity, do you consider you would feel the same happiness arise from it if you perform this activity with your significant other, husband, wife, or with any other person? Would it be the same perception of happiness that you would get from it? What do you think?
Well, honestly, in our personal experience, I think that yes. Because, for example, you're going to use the Formula One example. I've been watching Formula One since 2008. But up until a couple of years ago, you may have started watching a couple of races with me. So by you sacrificing your part of that time in the morning of a Sunday to watch a race with me, at the same time, I feel you're interested in something that really calls my attention and makes me feel that you're genuinely doing something that may not be of your preference because you want to share that moment with me. So I would say that definitely, yeah. In my particular case, I have music. I have those Formula One races, the Super Bowl, one or the other sports activity or specific movie in the cinema. And even though you've said sometimes, yeah, just go watch it. I know you want to watch it. Whenever you decide to do it with me, of course I feel extra happy because of that.
Okay. In my particular case, I would say that, yes, I do feel that I do get a little extra level of happiness when I do these any random activity with you, because I feel that we have something else to bond over, even if we're just cooking or washing the dishes or whatever it is that we're doing. The fact that we're doing it together means that we can count some time in for the two of us or just the two of us. So,
yeah, this question comes because the researchers actually found that couples that do these activities in their leisure time together have an extra perception of happiness and meaningfulness in their lives. So that's something they called our attention to.
Yes, absolutely. The next question we brought from the article is, a day has 24 hours time. Of this time, what are the sacrifices that you do to spend time with your children, to spend time to get alone time with your spouse, and does this sacrifice of time feel worth it to you?
Well, here we go to the topic of personal time. And when I say personal time, I'm not including spouse or kids' time. It's the time you spend for your hobbies, like in my particular case, music. So I would say yes, 24-hour day, you do have to, there's a certain limit to how many hours you have in a day, 24, period. If you have a job, you have to spend time on your job. If you have kids, you have to spend time on your kids. So then you have two more factions of life, your spouse and yourself. So in order to have a balanced life, not a balanced relationship or family, a balanced life, you need to have a little bit of everything. But once you get to a certain point, to a point in which you really ask yourself, is what I'm sacrificing enough? Am I feeling whole by doing this sacrifice? And it's a gray area. Because, for example, we had that time during the night after the girls were sleeping where I decided to take up English classes. And you were asking me, do we need that extra income? And truth be told, we didn't need it. It's something that I like to do. But in the end, I analyzed and I was like, she's right. We don't need that extra income. So why would I take my the time that I could spend with my wife doing chores or watching television on teaching English for something that was not necessary at the time.
And especially, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but especially since these teaching hours were during the time when the kids were already asleep and is usually the time that we spend together as a couple alone. We dedicate alone time to each other. So that's where I said, is the sacrifice worth the
the outcome.
The outcome of what you get from this activity, which in this particular case is extra income, which wasn't all that.
It wasn't that much.
And I didn't feel
had it been
was
something
worth
substantial, yeah, of course, definitely. But
and even then, I wouldn't feel it's worth it because then what is the actual time we're going to spend together?
True that. So the third question, as I said, is a question that I chose myself. And it is very simple. Knowing that there is couples exclusive time, that's you and I only, and shared time, and that they both include spending time with your beloved person, and knowing that doesn't matter which of those two you actually use. By doing shared time or exclusive couples time, you become a happier and a more meaningful person in your life. How can you take advantage of the shared time to make it more like if it was an exclusive couples time?
I think that the first thing that we need to do, and I believe that we try to do this, we try to gain something out of it, do a conscious effort to be present in this activity, to have my spouse or significant other present at the moment that you're doing this activity, and gain whatever emotional satisfaction, closeness, or something that you can actually feel that it was that you got something from it, even if you don't have the chance to have alone time with your spouse. If you must go to a family gathering this weekend, for instance, and you have to spend the whole weekend with the family, every once in a while it has to be done. But then that doesn't mean that we're not going to connect, we're not going to have a special connection, we're not going to feel that we're there for each other. So I think it takes a little bit more of a conscious effort to say, okay, so we're in this family gathering, we're in this job dinner, work lunch or whatever, and we're allowed to take a plus one, but I'm going to take into account that my plus one is here, and I'm going to make him or her feel that I know you're here. I'm going to grab your hand. I'm going to let you feel that I am here.
All right. Good.
And our last question from this article is, are we aware of the different meaning in the time spent alone with our spouses? How can we meet a happy medium between his definition and her definition?
That's a good question. And just as relationships are built on expectations, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, the concept of free time has to be the same way. Because, for example, we have had a lot of free time here. I have no guitars here, or PlayStation, or I don't know what else. But you have worked on your translations. I have read my little small book. You have had coffee. I have walked around and gone to the gym. So what I understand on that is that what is free time for you as an individual, like where you don't even want to share with me, may be very different of the things I think I should be doing with my free time. My free time activities may be watching a TV show, watching a movie, which I love movies. Yours may be going around finding nice shoes for the girls or for yourself. So even if I get sometimes pissed or upset that you're on your phone too much, I sometimes have to understand too that that's one of the things you do to loosen your stress and relieve your anxiety, because you actually read on your phone a lot and you take pictures with your phone. The same way I have to understand when you're telling me, hey, you're playing too much guitar. Come on. Like, are you planning to do that every night? Like, at the same time, I have to understand the fact that I have an individual activity that I want to do that shouldn't make me neglect my responsibility to you as a husband and as a contributor to this exclusive couples time that I know we should be having.
I believe this question is very linked to communication. You can't know what my definition of exclusive couple spouse time is if I don't tell you. The same way you can't know what it is if I don't tell you. So it's a two-way road. You need to tell me what your definition is. I need to tell you what it is. We need to both be conscious and aware of it. And if for X, Y, or Y, we don't feel comfortable of whatever, you're watching TV, we're watching a movie, but I also have to do the chores for the next day or whatever. So maybe before we sit down and watch the movie and have that leisure time, we together as a team, we get rid of whatever chores are pending, whatever needs to be done for the next day. And then we can sit and relax, even if we don't get to watch the whole movie, even if we get only to watch half of the movie. But it's actual quality time that we get to spend together, in which both you and I feel that we are on the same spot, that we are having, in fact, exclusive
couples time. Yeah.
Definitely.
So I think that communication is key there.
Definitely.
So we're going to be posting this, typing these questions, and we're going to be putting them on the screen right now for you to be able to reflect on these questions with your significant other. Hopefully you'll get to share the answers, be aware of these issues and definitions of time, exclusive time with your significant other. And hopefully, if you feel inspired and you, please share with us your answers, ask any questions. We're going to leave these questions also in the description box, along with the link for the article, which was used for this video/podcast. And if you have any questions, well, you can reach us through our social media pages or through our comments in the YouTube channel.
Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for watching this video. And if you liked it, please come back for the next episode.
And don't forget to subscribe.
Thank you so much.
Have a great week.
Ciao.